D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, hanging out with you at Hermitage Golf Course for the Special Olympics of Tennessee Golf Tournament. Really cool to be able to interact with some of the athletes and everybody involved here. Again, you can help by texting GIVE to 615-270-9948. We'll continue to get that out there. But as we do every Tuesday at noon, we say hello to the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. He is on the line with us. Timmy, how you doing?
What's up, boys? How you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. It's a good day. Got a little weather that may come through, but that doesn't stop us from doing anything. But the Titans have won four in a row, and they're not all pretty. But to me,
hold on a second. Hold on. That wasn't pretty? Like, why do you have to score on offense? Does that matter?
Well, you know, it helps, Tim.
If you can score on defense, then you don't need to score on offense.
You guys anti-field goal? What's the problem?
No. No, look, I said earlier that was Fisher ball at its finest, and I meant that as a compliment. But
that was a compliment. Oh, was that a backhanded compliment? What kind of compliment?
No, it was a compliment. I mean, look, they found a way to win the game. The defense set the tone for them. And to me, that makes it more Vrabel ball. I mean, you've seen this over the course of the last four games that it's been the defense that has been beat up and it set the tone. But I feel like that's exactly what happened with this team. And now you got concerns with the quarterback potentially being injured. But they found a way to win. They made the big plays. And, look, now Matt Ryan's lost his job.
Yeah, look, I think in terms of your point, Chase, about Vrabel ball, the video with Vrabel and Ben Jones in the tunnel after the game is, I think – kind of the definition of what you're looking at, right? Like, grind it out. Like, know that it's tough. It's not going to be pretty. You know, everyone understands that. We're okay with it, but we're going to still ask a lot of you. Like, that kind of feel. That's definitely the vibe. Like, no doubt about it. And that's a huge win. You know, when you think back to, you know, what the swing of winning that game was. So, yeah, certainly concerns going forward. I mean, it was probably good to see that Ryan was able to finish the game. I wasn't sure how that was going to look as they were, spatting up his ankle. But, sitting there at 4-2, when you think about, what the reaction was losing to the Giants and, what the Giants look like now, I'm surprised that they're 4-2. I'm surprised that this is what it looks like, but in their division, it's a pretty good place to be sitting in.
So what did you make of the decision to go with Sam Ellinger the rest of the way for the Colts?
Yeah, there's part of it for me that's curious on a couple fronts with it, in that, just like is it health related at all? And the reason I say that is, look, it wasn't pretty for them this past week, and Matt Ryan's had games that weren't great. But just 2 weeks ago, in another division game, Matt Ryan was 42 of 58 for 389 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks. Like, with, a depleted roster on offense. I can just tell you right now, Sam Ellinger can't do that. So, look, I felt like I would just say this. I think Matt Ryan's been disappointing. I think they probably would have hoped that he'd played better. But it's not like it's been all bad. I mean, they won the game last week against Jacksonville, or 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville, because of him. So
no question.
That's why it surprises me a little bit. So I just am curious, if it's health related at all.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So going back to Ryan Tannehill, let's say he can't go. What is your confidence level in Todd Downing and the Titans to be able to scheme a game plan together for Malik Willis to make his first start?
Yeah, I think the confidence level would be high. I after seeing him play in the preseason, I think we all agree the talent level is there. I think the thing that you want to try to do as you create a plan for him is say, all right, like, we've created this plan for you, But look how we won last week. Like, we won last week because, you know, we've done a pretty good job of not turning it over, but turning them over, right? We're grinding it out. So I think that's the fear when you have a young quarterback playing is, all right, well, like, can he avoid the mistake that, you know, hey, we just turned the ball over on our own 30, and now all of a sudden we gave them a short field, or, you know, because of a bad decision, you know, with 3 minutes left in the half, they get the football back, they drive down the field, they get points right before the half, and then they receive the half, the kick in the second half. Like, things like that, I think, are, you know, stuff that the coach kind of has to help the guy with. But in saying that, like, I think Mike Vrabel, one of the things he's done an amazing job of, like, managing the game, you know, as a head coach can. And I think I've said this to you guys before, I think it's one of the reasons I really like Sean McDermott as a coach, because, you know, way before he ever had Josh Allen, like, he did a great job of managing the football game with various guys playing quarterback, running the game, you know, being smart about how, you know, the offense was allowed to call plays. And I think he would have to do that if Malik was their starter.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, we were discussing earlier, is there any moves? Because this, right now, I mean, we've talked about it enough. This offense, and it's an offense that's one-dimensional, and there's nobody on this current team now that would pose a threat other than Derrick Henry to opposing defenses. And I'm only talking from a passing standpoint. Is there any assets on the Tennessee Titans team you believe that they can trade away to try to get, you know, another playmaker on offense, even if there's a playmaker out there to get?
You know, is there somebody that would be moved? I don't feel like there's somebody that sticks out to me, mm-hmm. you know, in that regard. And then in terms of, like, guys that would be available, you know, I don't feel like they would be in the mix for it. You know, guys that could potentially be moved, and or you look at, you know, people, like, if you look at some of these teams that are, like, well, like Carolina, for example. Uh-huh. You know, I just feel like the Titans, you'd be competing against other people that, you know, probably more apt to be more aggressive to go get them. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the receiver position, which is, I think we've talked about it enough. It's like, all right, let's just say you wanted to say, all right, let's address receiver somehow. So you kind of go through who potentially could become available. You all also dealing with other teams that are in that same mix, like Green Bay, obviously, you know, being one of them. So I don't know. I don't feel like they end up being a player in that. Look, I could be wrong. We get surprised every now and then on that stuff, but you know, that's how I would end up seeing it. Like, and I would be shocked, to be quite honestly, like, if Green Bay doesn't do something.
Now, do you, in regards to Mike Vrabel, and you mentioned this, you know, a couple of minutes ago, I think he's one of the best coaches at taking a situation, essentially a one-off situation, and making the best out of that one-off situation and putting together a game plan, whether it be offense or defense, because he's been in that situation defensively too many times this year and last year where key guys go down right before the game the next following week. And he's managed to put together a game plan that incorporates everybody, and they come out and they play a really good game for that one off. I just think Vrabel's one of the best coaches at doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing that has surprised me, maybe it's not fair to him, I think there are game management aspects of being a head coach that we've traditionally seen offensive-minded head coaches do a nice job with. Right, and maybe it's just because of the, you know, the experience they maybe had is they were a quarterback at one point, or say that they were a play caller at some point, that they do a nice job with it. And I think sometimes when you see defensive-minded head coaches, you wonder, like, okay, like, you know, I wonder how he'll handle these situations. But I think that he's kind of been as good as anybody. Like, you know, there are coaches. I mean, take Mike McCarthy as the example. Like, people, I think, are holding their breath in Dallas every time there's, like, you're up against the clock and when you take your timeouts and, the type of plays that you call, are happening. And I just don't think people have that same concern with Vrabel. And it's somewhat interesting in that when you talk about this on, like, from an offensive perspective and a two-minute drive and things are happening fast, when he was a player, he was never in any of those meetings, ever. You know, he's never a part of that stuff. So I've been really impressed with his time as a head coach. I think really all Titans fans should be impressed about it.
And Tim, I'd take it one step further. I think he's improved since he started in a lot of those areas. I think he's done a lot of self-evaluation. For example, we used to get on him a lot about the challenges. He lost a bunch his first couple years. He probably had some challenges that, you know, you kind of looked at in the moment and saying, ooh, why is he challenging that? There's clearly not enough evidence, whatever the case was. He's now won the last seven challenges that he's had, so that's just one example, and I think he's always looking to try to get better.
Yeah, it's really remarkable, in that way. And I mean, shoot, whether it's been Nathaniel Hackett, whether it's been Dan Campbell, I do think that young coaches probably or first-time head coaches, probably have some, kinks to work out in terms of the operation of challenging things. But if you don't fix it, to your point, Willie, if you don't say, all right, wait a second, maybe we need to streamline this differently, maybe we need to kind of set up some structures, put things in place where it's like, look, if we're going to challenge this because the value of the timeout is significant, we've got to do it differently than we're doing it now. And you would presume that they are with the success. But that's something I do feel like young first-time coaches kind of really struggle with because, much of it probably is also designating somebody that you know their demeanor and mindset, and you're trusting them because they're looking at it as you're standing on the sideline.
Yeah, another one would be going for it, not going for it. Yeah. I think early on, remember that first year or two, if the player's like, let's go for it, coach, he'd be like, yeah, let's go for it. he'd get in the emotion of it. Now I think he's got the emotion, the feel for the game balanced with what are the numbers telling me. I think he's got a much better feel for that, much better understanding of that.
Yeah, that's Dan Campbell, right? I mean, this year. I mean, that's part of it. And I think eventually what you do is you evolve to John Harbaugh, which is like, all right, you've made the decision that you're going to go for it. And then at that point, in order to empower your players, you're like, hey, do you want to go for it? Because you know they're going to say yes. And then you're like, yeah, I trusted my guys. It's like, no, you made that decision beforehand. Like, let's stop.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. He's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll continue that conversation with Tim coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie has a word on Loan Pronto.
All right. Loan Pronto wants you to know if you need cash for the holidays or if you need cash to pay off bills, credit cards, whatever they may be, Loan Pronto's all-new Express Equity Line of Credit program is waiting for you. It's what you need. It's great. You can unlock that cash, keep your low mortgage rate, and then go to work. That's right. You don't have to do a full home refi these days. You can tap a small portion of the equity and enjoy a super low rate with the Express Equity Line of Credit. You can close in 7 to 10 days, get $50,000, $100,000, whatever it is, and then it's going to cost you only about $300 a month if it's $50,000. So you can use that money to pay off the big bills, high-interest credit cards, consolidate other debt, start a home improvement project, whatever you need that cash for. Loan Pronto can help you. So do it now before the holidays. Call and get the info, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Mm-hmm.
Back here on Chase Willie and D-Mace from the Hermitage Golf Club. On behalf of the Special Olympics, golf tournament going on today. We'll continue to tell you how you can help. In the meantime, we continue our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, talking NFL football. So, Tim, we've talked a lot to Titans here. Let's look around the league a little bit. Tough one last night for the Patriots and a really puzzling quarterback situation here where you had a classic Bill Belichick not saying anything before the game, but and then after the game saying, oh, I told everybody, I told ESPN, we were planning on playing both guys. So it seems to me to be way too early to give up on Mac Jones here, even though you've got a really fun upstart in Zappe playing really good football. Where do you think that's going?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think it's way too early. Listen, just because a guy comes in, has a couple good weeks, you know, doesn't mean that you ever punt on the guy that you drafted in the first round. Like, you know, and all, I just think you got to be careful to overreact to a few good games. And the reason I say that is, like, there are guys that, look, whether it was Taylor Heineke, who, you know, came out and was fun to watch and was competitive, or whether it was Kyle Allen in Carolina, who, you know, comes in and, you know, has a few good games, making good decisions, passing the football. Like, I do think there are elements. I mean, shoot, Cooper Rush, for that matter, right? Like, oh, hey, look what he's doing. Like, to overreact and feel like, you know, you've just uncovered, you know, the next Tom Brady. Like, so I'm not ready to do that. I think Mac Jones is still a good player. But, you know, all that to say, part of what does happen is when you're not available and somebody else comes in and plays and, you know, plays well, the longer that guy then is on the bench and the starter is playing and struggling, you know, the better people remember the previous guy playing. Does that make sense? Like, they almost misremember. Like, you know, it used to be a joke, like, with some guys at ESPN, like, the further away you were from playing, like, the better you actually were, right? Like, it just is kind of like how people saw it, and it's not the reality, but that's how people start to remember it, and fans start talking about it that way, and before you know it, it kind of can take on a life of its own. It feels like that could be starting to happen in New England.
How bad? I did not watch this particular game. I watched a lot of games, but I was at the Titans game, and I just could not believe what I was watching on the scoreboard. Tampa scores 3 points at Carolina. How does that happen?
So, a couple things. One, people probably have seen, you know, early in the game, Mike Evans drops a post route that would walk in. And so that was bad. But truthfully, I think one of the biggest problems that they were having is that Brady didn't play well even when things were blocked up. So, you know, we typically see him in the pocket, moving in the pocket, staying kind of organized to throw the football and being accurate with it, and he just wasn't. And so they were all out of sorts offensively in the passing game. And, you know, one of the interesting things, and it's just, it's kind of, I guess, as people keep their eye on what could happen in Carolina, just remember this. You know, Mike McDaniel takes over in Miami, but he keeps the defensive staff basically from the prior regime. Well, what's interesting in Carolina is, you know, Matt Rhule was fired, and basically because the offense stunk. But that defense is actually a pretty good defense. I think there's a chance that defensive staff, especially if Wilkes ends up playing or coaching well and it doesn't get an opportunity to be something other than a coordinator somewhere else, does that staff stick around? Because they're doing a pretty good job on that side of the ball.
Now, Tim, the AFC North is becoming very interesting now. It seems like Baltimore started off blazing at the beginning of the season. And it seems like Lamar Jackson and some questionable decisions by Harbaugh, and it just seems like this team is taking steps backwards. They're still playing good at times. They came, you know, they beat Cleveland, which was a big win for them last week. But they don't seem like the same team they were in the first couple of weeks. Now you see Cincinnati, who didn't seem like the team that ended the season at the beginning of the season. Now it seems like they're picking up. You know, they're sort of picking up and getting back on the roll. We don't know what Cleveland is, definitely until Deshaun Watson come back. But this AFC North is sort of taking on a life of its own with these top three teams. And you can never count Pittsburgh out, because I just think Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches out there. When he's coaching the team, I never count him out.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I do think that they offensively, you know, they're struggling so much. I'm not sure Tomlin can even, you know, fix that. But I guess what I would say is, to your point about, you know, the other two teams at the top, Cincinnati, remember, like, Burrow missed a bunch of time. What do you have, the appendix out or something at the start of the year? And, you know, there's some, you know, offensive, you know, kind of offensive line issues, and the quarterback's getting hit a bunch. I think they're working through. But really, Cincinnati, when you just look at them in terms of, you know, net points versus, you know, their point, I mean, they're plus 41, you know, on net points. Like, that offense is going to start scoring now. And, you know, the quarterback's rolling. And they have three receivers. Let me just put it in perspective. They have three receivers have over 90 yards receiving last week. You know, two over 100. So, like, they become really hard to defend. And then I think in Baltimore, I think you nailed it, D-Mace. Like, their record could look drastically different if you just kind of make a couple of, you know, maybe decision. Hey, like, hey, we'll kick a field goal here instead of go for it. Or, hey, against Miami, you get one, you know, third down conversion in the fourth quarter of that game, and it looks different. Like, they're a 4-3 team that, like, you could be 6-1 easily. And, like, we know they're good. We know they're well coached. And we know their quarterback's a handful.
Now, looking at the Jets, they made a big move. They're running back Breece Hall got injured, tore an ACL, so he's out for the season. They trade for Robinson with Jacksonville. I can see that as two ways. I can see Jacksonville believing so much in ETN, and we've talked about him and how he seems like he's just becoming that difference maker at the running back position. And the Jets still feel like, you know, they're one of the best teams in AFC, and, you know, they just need to replace their running back. But what Salih is doing with the Jets, man, I didn't see this coming.
No, I didn't see it coming either. Remember, they started the year with Joe Flacco as their starter because, you know, the Wilson injury. And Wilson really hasn't played all that great. So, but Breece Hall had been amazing for them. He really had been. He's a good back. Really, both of those, you think about Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker, like, those guys, you know, at this point in the season, they've both been impressive. But I feel like this is one of those scenarios where kind of perfect for everybody. Because of the Breece Hall injury, there was a need. So they go, you know, to Jacksonville, and they're like, hey, like, will you give him up? They do. So it works for Jacksonville, because Jacksonville, like, the future at the position is definitely Travis Etienne. Like, there's no question about it. So, look, I think Robert Saleh has done a really good job there, because it's been a struggle. And so I think to do that while it's been difficult, meaning, like, it hasn't come easy. You know, you didn't just have a quarterback come in and play great, or, like, completely change the way you're doing things to all of a sudden, you know, find ways to win. Like, I feel like they've been grinding them out, you know, and they've been ugly at times, and they just feel like they fought for it. Versus, like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but, like, Seattle right now is, like, you know, the talk. Like, wow, who saw this coming? But, like, look at Seattle's wins. Like, that's the only thing I would say. Like, they're not, look, other than the Chargers, and I think you can discuss whether or not that's a impressive win. Yeah, I think you can question, you know, if they really are that good.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. The NFC East has gone from the NFC least to the NFC beast, is what I'll call it. I mean, with the Eagles, the Giants, the worst 6-1 team in football history, and then the Cowboys. How do you think that division shakes out now that Dak is back in the fold with Dallas?
Yeah, I think Dallas is a good team to win games the way they won, like, where you're not relying on the quarterback a ton. You're not, or relying on the offense in general, it means you're a good football team. They are that's a good team. And to survive what they survived with the backup quarterback, I think speaks to that. So, look, I chose them to win the division. I think Philadelphia, like as we sit here now, if I could have a redo on it, like I would choose Philadelphia. And here's what I'd say about the Giants. Like, they're certainly not out of it, but like if anyone watched some of that Giants game, I counted like six drops in that game. And I do think the lack of real talent at receiver eventually comes back to start costing them games. I think you know, there's elements of what they do that help you win. Good example would be they get into a 4-minute offense at the end of the game, and they rip off a 13-yard run, a 7-yard run, a 20-yard run, and then like a quarterback keep that goes for like, you know, 15 or 20 yards, all within like, what is that? That's 5 plays and like 7 plays when everybody knows that they're going to run it. Like, that's what good teams do. So I do think, like, you know, their run game, how they're playing defense, all that stuff's great. But I do believe that eventually the lack of talent at receiver, you know, comes back to get them. And so I, at this point, would go Philadelphia, Dallas, New York.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every Tuesday at noon. Timmy, thanks for the time as always. We'll talk next week.
Got it. See you, boys.
Tim Hasselbeck, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll react to some of the things around the league that you just heard with Tim as we continue here. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. But, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Big sponsor, Nashville Predators Hockey, and our coverage specifically right here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators back in action Thursday night against the St. Louis Blues. Big division game coming up as Nashville tries to right the ship here. Meanwhile, for Lee Company, make sure you get that heating unit checked. The temperature is nice today, but remember, it'll be dropping here very, very soon. Is your heating unit running efficiently? You might have had to use it once or twice here. If it's not working quite right, they're just a phone call away, or just make an online appointment at LeeCompany.com. And while you're at it, just remember that number at all times, because you might have a maintenance problem at home or at work. At your business, you could be sitting there just doing your thing and realizing, you know what, I've got to take care of a problem here, and I don't have the people on my staff to do it. Well, general maintenance is a big part of Lee Company. Just give them a call, 615-567-1000, or online appointment at LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, let those decades of expertise go to work for you.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Be sure to play Silly Underdog Picks. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase, Willie, D-Mace live at Hermitage Golf Course today for the Special Olympics of Tennessee Golf Tournament. We'll have more of that flavor coming up at the end of the hour. But talked about it with Tim Hasselbeck there. Mac Jones. Now, look, I think my personal opinion is I think Bill Belichick overthought some things last night. Mac Jones, the offense wasn't really playing well. He makes the change. He goes back to Bailey Zappi. Zappi leads him downfield to score a touchdown. But then the offense really didn't do much after that. And they got boat raced by a not very good Chicago Bears team. So I don't know if I would have, you know, pulled the hook as quickly as he did, but he did. And, you know, he's done enough in this league that you don't question what Belichick does. But what does it mean if they decide, hey, you know what, we're going to try and recreate greatness again, go with Zappi, the fourth-round pick, not a sixth-round pick like Brady was, but they go with him, and that makes Mac Jones available. Willie, I know that you've listened to some podcasts that have thrown that out there, that he's got a very attractive contract that could make him movable this offseason.
Yeah, he's on that first contract. So remember, you don't have to pay the rookie quarterbacks, even the first-round picks, nearly what you used to.
Sure.
And so he is attractive from that standpoint. I tend to agree with Tim. That's a big overreaction right now to sit there and go, aha, aha, they're going to trade Mac Jones. They're going to trade him. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to ride it out. It's a smart thing to do if you're the Patriots. As great as Zappe is, the Zappe hour, all of that stuff, he did kind of come crashing down in the second half of that game. And eventually they figure out your strengths and weaknesses, and he is not, you know, he's a great story, but he is not a long-term solution. At least we don't know that yet. So to think that they're going to, you know, pull the trigger on Mac Jones, I think it's a little premature. But the Ringer podcast did throw out some interesting things at the end of the season. Let's just say at the end of the season, the Patriots maybe aren't that keen on Mac Jones. They pinpointed five teams that might want to look at him. And the Titans actually were one that they brought up, only because Ryan Tannehill's contract is, of course, get-outable at the end of the year. You know, if they wanted to move on, they could. They could bring him back. Tannehill could come back for $27 million, which may be the direction they go.
That's a bargain for a quarterback.
Well, yeah, especially if he ends up having a good year. Now, we got to see what the next few weeks hold with this ankle injury that he's got. But, you know, that will be a decision at the end of the season. And if Mac Jones were out there, that'd be an interesting option. Because last year, the discussion that a lot of people had was, oh, my gosh, you can't win with Ryan Tannehill. You got to get somebody else. To get the logistics done of a Russell Wilson trade, you saw what the Broncos had to do and how that's worked out so far, or an Aaron Rodgers, it was not feasible, especially based on what they were paying Ryan Tannehill. You weren't going to be able to move that contract. It's a little more practical to have that discussion at the end of this season.
Sure.
So it's just one thing. People threw out the Colts. The Colts certainly now they're right back to square one with the quarterback situation. It seems like a really desperate move. I tend to agree with Tim. A lot of people were going with the narrative that the Colts threw out there yesterday. I thought it was a very knee-jerk thing to just say Matt Ryan can't get it done. I see the thinking of they can't protect him and he can't move. They don't have any receivers that can run after the catch, and they're not running the ball the way they were expected to running it. So, but Ellinger is going to fix on that? I don't see that.
I don't think it's so much that they think Ellinger is going to fix it. It was just embarrassing watching Matt Ryan try to get away from, you know, defenders when his offensive line isn't blocking. I think they're doing this more so for Matt Ryan than anything, because he's going to get out there and he's going to get seriously hurt behind an offensive line that can't block him, and he can't move at all.
No,
he's a statue. Move. He's a statue. So I think they did it more so to protect him than anything.
Don't you think it was an Ursay thing?
I think it was an Ursay thing, but you got to understand, if they brought Matt Ryan in here to do a job, the job is not getting done, and he's looking bad at times doing it. Not necessarily because of him majority of the time, but because of the offensive line. It's not going to look any better. He's going to have a game where he plays well. It's just going to happen. But for the most part, overall, he's not what the Indianapolis Colts need at this time. He can't do anything that's going to, you know, get them into the playoffs. That's why I think they look at it as, listen, we're not going to embarrass him even more and subject him to any more injuries. We're just going to pull him.
But, I mean, we have to – Ellinger is a total – unknown.
We understand that. But he can move in a pocket.
But you really think he gives them a better chance of winning than Matt Ryan? And then we've never heard anything about the injury.
As Ursay right now, it's not necessarily – he's figured – he's understood now. This is not a good team. He does not have a good ball team. Eventually, he's going to get rid of the coach and the head and the GM. He can't do it right now. So he's like, listen, put Ellinger in and let's play, okay? I want to be in the position to draft a quarterback. This is about drafting a quarterback.
Okay.
This is not about Matt Ryan.
And look, there's going to be some
and
good
so
ones available.
So you would pass on Mac Jones then? You would
yeah,
try
I would
to
pass
give
on Mac Jones.
Because they've given up draft picks to get Wentz and Ryan and got nothing. So
yeah,
look, it might be time to, if this goes south, draft a quarterback.
Well, for the Colts. The best luck for them has been what? Drafting quarterbacks. Peyton Manning.
Yeah. And Andrew Luck.
And to do that, you got to stink.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't want to win no ball because they're going to be stuck trying to fill that quarterback position. If they continue to win, they just are. So this is an easy way to say, listen, we're not sort of throwing the towel in because our quarterback's hurt. We want to put our young guy in. We don't want to subject him to any more injury. We want to put our young guy in. But Ursay, no. This young guy ain't going to get him to the playoffs, and he doesn't mind because he wants to draft a Bryce Young or a Stroud or one of these top quarterbacks in the first round.
It's like taking the steering wheel, though, and just doing a huge, like, jerk to the wheel because that's a huge pivot from where they were.
It's Jim Ursay.
Are they going to the playoffs with Matt Ryan?
Probably not.
If I'm there and I have faith.
Are they going to the playoffs with Matt Ryan?
It doesn't look that way.
Why play him? Why continue to play him?
But that's and a hard. Injured. It's still a hard decision to make.
It's not. You're giving a man $20-something million, and you know you're not going to win. Why is it hard?
I still think there's you're one game back. You got a long way to go.
You're one game back, but personnel wise, you're more.
It doesn't.
Than that.
It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't look good. Tough decision.
That's why I'm glad.
I just think it's hard to tank.
I'm not saying they're tanking, but they know they didn't lose to the Titans twice. They didn't tie the Houston Texans. They're not gonna. They didn't lose to Jackson. They lost to Jacksonville once, didn't they?
Yeah, they split
with Jacksonville. They're not winning this division. I don't care what you say, Willie.
The division.
I would say Jacksonville has a better shot at winning this division than the Colts.
The sucky division.
I absolutely agree with that. The Jacksonville Jaguars are still the biggest threat to the Titans in the division race, for sure. It's not even close.
Well, okay, Randy on our text line, WilsonCountyHoundy.com, do you think Matt Ryan would have been benched if he had lost to, say, the Vikings or the Giants, or was this due just to losing to the Titans again? Now, that's where the Ursay craziness comes into play.
Right, that's the thing. And that you should not make decisions based on emotion in the moment. But it does look like there was a lot of that went into this decision.
But that's Ursay. If I'm a
it's
Colts,
not the way to run a team.
If I'm a Colts fan, or as an NFL fan, I'm saying Jim Ursay needs to focus on getting Dan Snyder out. That needs to be where he needs to go, and quit worrying about the football team. But from the Titans' point of view, let Jim Ursay keep messing up the football team. That's fine.
100%. They play Washington this week. If I'm Washington, I'm sitting there going, "Oh, good." They're going with Ellinger? That sounds great to me, man. Put him in there.
We're live today at Hermitage Golf Course for the Special Olympics Tennessee Golf Tournament presented by Pinnacle. Special Olympics Tennessee provides year-round sports training, athletic competition, and health screenings for people with intellectual disabilities. You can support their work during today's Radiothon by texting GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 615-270-9948. Or visit SpecialOlympicsTN.org. Coming up next, we'll have more of that flavor, tell you how you can help here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live at the Hermitage Golf Course today, Special Olympics of Tennessee Golf Tournament. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We're pleased to have Terry Saharsky, Special Olympics Tennessee board member, here with us in person. Terry, this has been a great event so far. It's fun to be out here and be a part of it. How things been going from your end?
Well, let's just say it's been a great day to play golf. Any day you can play golf is a good day. Didn't hit it as good as I would like, but other than that, I had a lot of fun.
Now, you're a unified partner and caddy for golf. Kind of expand upon what a unified partner does with Special Olympics of Tennessee.
Sure. So, obviously, I'm sure this morning you've talked about our athletes and a lot of intellectual disabilities as well as physical, right? So what we try to do is have a unified caddy, so a non-athlete, so like myself, right, to help them experience the game of golf and really truly do act as a caddy, clean his clubs, you know, help them read up putts, help them make determinations about what club to hit and things like that. And it just gives them, you know, it's like most things, I'm there to help him. I'm getting more out of it, you know, because of him. So,
you attended the USA Games in Orlando. You got to see how big of an event that is. A lot of talk of trying to get it here in 2030. So how big would it be to bring yet another huge event to Nashville?
Not to steal your word, but it would absolutely be huge. Who doesn't want to come to Nashville?
Yeah.
All my friends, you know, come all the time from out of state. You know, so we introduce a lot of people that way. It would be great. The event down in Orlando, that we you know attended back in June was out at the Y World of Sports at Disney Complex.
Cool.
Don't know if any of y'all have ever been there.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable facility. 5,500 athletes from all across the country. And just to watch them build the camaraderie with one another, exchange their state pins, you know, and things like that, that's a big, big deal down there.
Now, when you were down there, they were doing the free health screening for all of the athletes. What did you think about that?
First experience for that, so it was unbelievable.
Okay.
Thousands went through there. Hundreds were helped. Tim Shriver, you know, who is the chairman, you know, his mother started, you know, Eunice started the organization. To watch these athletes come through there, and, you know, what I learned from it that I had no idea on is so many of them, Special Olympic families, don't even have insurance. And if they do, a lot of times it's a lower end type coverage, and so they're getting turned away. At this health screening, you know, from podiatry to dentistry to eyes to hearing aids, healthy nutrition, all those kinds of things, all volunteers, and we watch people when they get a new hearing aid, for example, that hearing aid is totally free, donated by, you know, that by that company. So it was
very cool.
It really was. It was the most special part of the USA Games to me as a board member and just as a person.
Terry, we had such a great chat with Jerry Butler last hour.
Yeah.
And you could see the enthusiasm, you know, for and when you go to one of these events, you see that from all of the athletes. And I know one of the things you do is you just want to set up an environment so these guys and girls could just have fun and compete and do these things. So what are the biggest challenges? What, like, when people are donating, like, what kind of resources are these donations going towards to try to create that environment we're talking about?
Well, you know, we're all across the state, so there's 35 areas, you know, across the state, and we have events going on all the time. Every week something's going on. Our biggest challenge is obviously sports equipment for all the different, you know, games that we have. That's a lot of money. The biggest part really, though, is sometimes it's just not a donation of the dollar, but it's a donation of individuals volunteering to participate in that. If people will do that, they get connected for life with it because it's a special experience to see.
Well, our biggest challenge right now is the wind.
The wind is a big challenge right now.
But I was trying to use that on the golf course too.
But what you said is so true. I can remember, and this was a long time ago, but I went to an event at Vanderbilt. I referenced this before. My group.
That was a long time ago.
It was me. It was George Plaster, Sharon Wycheck, and Barry Trotz, the coach of the Predators. And, of course, Barry has a special needs son, Nolan, who's been awesome to watch grow up. But we must have set a record for high fives, hugs, you know, get everybody's hand in the middle. And it just is infectious, what you're saying, because you never forget an experience like that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny you talk about Barry Trotz, but I won't say his name, but we were at a really good friend of his, you know, watching a ball game. And that's where I first met his son. And at the time, now, he was a young boy.
Yeah, no.
This would have been, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s probably. But what I saw, and I see this in so many Special Olympic families, the love from Barry to that son of his was unbelievable.
Incredible.
Followed him around the house. No, he never left him. We were there for the Super Bowl. But he stayed with his son the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's Barry Trotz.
Yeah. No question.
That is how he goes. So, again, we're out here today, Special Olympics of Tennessee, battling the wind. And you, like you said, you serve on the board and the Special Olympics Tennessee Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee because it is open to anyone with special needs, these intellectual disabilities that you talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely, 110%.
And that is what we're here to support. Again, you can support by texting GIVE, that's G-I-V-E, to 615-270-9948 or visit SpecialOlympicsTN.org. Terry, thanks so much for stopping by today. It's good to chat with you, and we're here to help best we can.
Thank you all for doing this.
Terry Saharsky, Special Olympics Tennessee board member, joining us. We'll have more of that as we continue from Hermitage Golf Course today. Again, Special Olympics of Tennessee golf tournament presented by Pinnacle. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms. There's no guys across the pond setting the lines for American sports. It's the best team of odds makers in the business, behind the counter, at the Superbook, in my favorite, Las Vegas, Nevada. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So do like I did. Make it your official sportsbook. Download it. It's so easy to do. Sign up. Put in all your information, and then you can get to betting. If you want to bet on pro football, pro basketball, college basketball, it doesn't matter. It is all there for you, including a little game taking place in East Tennessee where the home team is favored by 12.5. You can do it all right there in the palm of your hand. Just download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com, and you can start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.